welcome to If Cage Walls Could Talk, your weekly heart-to-heart on all things animals. My name is Jody Whitaker, and I am the founder and executive director of the Chicago Alliance for Animals, the Partnership to Ban Horse Carriages Worldwide, and the Center for Ethical Science. The show was created and brought to you by my all grassroots volunteer organizations working to liberate animals from suffering and pain. Before I introduce our guest today, I want to just mention a couple things about Chicago Alliance for Animals campaigns. Our Lincolnwood campaign is still going, and we're going to keep pushing until the Lincolnwood elected officials actually enforce the laws that are on their books. So, if you haven't heard or haven't listened to the show before, the village of Lincolnwood, which is on the northwest side of Chicago, has two laws on their books prohibiting the sale of rabbits. That's a Cook County law, and prohibiting the keeping and sale of wild animals. That's their own law. And more than 2 years ago, they voted to waive their own laws. So by doing so, it is keeping a sulcata African tortoise in intense confinement in about a 3x5 display case in a pet store in Lincolnwood, where she has no companionship, no enrichment, no sunshine. She has nothing to her life but living, languishing, I should say, in this box. So we continue to speak out against this and also testify at their board meetings on their usually the first and third Tuesday of each month. So their next board meeting will be Tuesday, April 16th. So if you can join us at 7:30 that night, please reach out to me at Chicago Alliance for Animals at gmail.com or reach out through Facebook or through our website. And if you're a Lincolnwood resident, we really do need you to help with this campaign. And it will also help ban the sale of rabbits, which are dumped and abandoned all the time, especially now that Easter is over. There'll probably be a big influx of rabbits being dumped because people buy them on a whim and realize that they cannot take care of them properly and that they can live 8 to 12 years or more. So there's a lot of work to be done in this tiny little village on Chicago's north side. So there's also the legislation to ban the sale of new fur in Chicago. If you are a Chicago resident, we need you to reach out to your alderperson and simply urge them to support and co-sponsor O-2023-2983, which is the humane legislation to ban the sale of new fur in Chicago. Again, if you have questions about that, reach out to me. Or if you don't know how to find your alderperson, just go online, do a search, who is my Chicago alderperson, and a link will come up where you can put in your address and find out who that is. And then lastly, there is humane legislation in Illinois to ban wildlife killing contests. It passed through the committee, and now it's on the House floor. And if you don't know what wildlife killing contests are, they're just extremely cruel and it's usually these contests where people win prizes to kill either the biggest bobcat or the most raccoons or, you know, the coyotes, you name it. And it's just a disgusting exercise in violence. And it teaches children that animals are here for us to harm as we please. So we need Illinois residents to reach out to their Illinois state representative and urge them to support and co-sponsor House Bill 2900 or HB 2900. And just urge them to support it. If you need talking points or have any questions, reach out to me through Facebook or again through ChicagoAllianceForAnimals.org. And I'm happy to send you a draft email to send or give you talking points. And keep in mind that these calls to legislators only usually take a minute or so of your time. I mean, you can do it during a commercial, during your favorite TV show. All right. So I will I'm pleased to read the bio of today's guest. Renee King Sonnen is the founder and executive director of Rowdy Girl Sanctuary in Texas. She has been on the forefront of animal rights activism internationally ever since she rescued her husband's Texas herd from slaughter. In 2016, Renee won the Veg News prestigious Vegan Rookie of the Year award. She is currently featured in a documentary called Rowdy Girl that had its world premiere in Toronto, Canada in 2023 at Hot Docs, and its U.S. premiere was at the Hamptons Film Festival. She recently completed her first memoir, presently titled Secret Diary of a Cattle Rancher's Wife. So now I'm happy to welcome Renee.
Hi there.
Hi, Renee. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Jody?
I'm good. I'm so pleased to have you on today. And I've known about you for quite a while, but I don't think you and I have really talked yet.
No, we haven't. It's a real honor to chat with you today. I know we both had issues with our schedule going back and forth, so we did it.
We got it on. We got it on the books. So tell us about cattle ranching and what changed in you to want to stop that life and that career.
I went vegan on a Texas cattle ranch. it's not something you're actually, you know, supposed to do if you're a cattle rancher. You don't wake up one day and say, I think I'll go vegan and shut down my husband's livelihood. It wasn't his sole livelihood, but he certainly made money off of it and paid lots of taxes and bills off that cattle ranch. And, you know, me going vegan, you know, just shut down the operation until I eventually, you know, bought all the cows from him through a fundraiser. So, yeah.
So how did you, what made you want to go vegan? I mean, did you see something? Had you been talking to friends about it? Or like, what got you to veganism?
Well, it was a calf named Rowdy Girl, and that's the name of the sanctuary. She's the namesake, and she's still alive. What happened was, I began to start seeing all the animals through Rowdy Girl's eyes. My husband came home one day and told me about these calves that needed a mama. Rowdy Girl was one of them. She was a little baby. And he was wanting to get me more involved in the cattle ranching operation. And I was, before that, really not too interested. I had my own world. I was, you know, I had I was just selling real estate. I was producing Texas Women in Country Music showcases, yoga. You know, I had my own thing, and cattle ranching was not one of them at that time.
Mm-hmm.
He came home one day and asked me if I wanted to go look at these calves. And I said, sure, I'll go look at him. He said, they need a mama, you know, and I didn't have any kids, and I always love animals. I mean, I've always loved animals, and here he is talking about babies, you know, and I thought, well, I'll go look at them. And so I brought baby Rowdy Girl and Bobo home. Bobo died within a week. She had a failure to thrive disease, and Rowdy Girl thrived, and I began to see the world of the cows through her eyes. I began to witness their life, their community, their families, their best friends, their world. I don't know. I'd feed Rowdy Girl, and I would go into a trance. It was almost as if there was a spiritual communion going on between me and Rowdy Girl.
Yeah.
I've always been a spiritual girl, you know, but I don't know how to explain it other than I would feed her and she would feed me. It was symbiotic. And wow. I began to wake up. I don't know, it took about 5 years, but I began to wake up through her.
That's a great story. And it's amazing that, like you said, you were spiritual, but it took this calf to kind of get you there. And it doesn't happen overnight, you know, for most people, I don't think.
No, I didn't know I was going vegan. I mean, the day I went vegan, it wasn't in my plans that morning.
Right.
It was not in my plans at all. I went vegan on Halloween 2014.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't in my plans.
It wasn't in the cards, but then you got there, and that's
well,
just
must have been, it must have been in the cards somewhere.
Right, in the cards, but not in your plans. Right, that's what I meant. Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, a lot of people, as you know, probably say, oh, I could never go vegetarian, I could never go vegan, and you know, most people who are vegan said that at one time before they did. So it's all about educating and learning about the truth behind these industries, the dairy industry, the meat industry, and then making these more and more positive changes and choices. So so There's probably haters out there. Do you receive a lot of backlash from cattle ranchers or others involved in animal agriculture?
Well, I mean, if you don't have any haters, you ain't doing it right. That's what I always say. So, you know, if everybody loved me right now, if everybody loved everything I was doing, it wouldn't be real. I mean, mm-hmm. Of course we've got, you know, I'm on the front lines of this thing, so I'm always, you know, amazed at how much support and love and all that we have, and then I'm never shocked anymore. I used to be when we run across, you know, somebody that's, you know, hating on us for some reason or the other. You know, it's just like, okay, next. I mean, I got work to do.
Mm-hmm.
I got work to do. I don't focus on people that hate on us, do they? Yeah. I mean, you know, we have people that do, but, you know, they ain't my focus. My focus is on our work. It's on changing lives, creating a difference, making a difference. Anybody that doesn't understand the work we do, or maybe it's not that they don't understand, they don't want to understand. They want to think we're just, you know, doing it all wrong. Some people, most people don't. But, you know, those people are, you know, they're not my focus. Guys, I just keep moving.
Yep, that's the way to go. Because I feel mm-hmm. it, too. There are people out there who have put down my work or, you know, say that we weren't behind the horse carriage ban or whatever that. And it just boggles my mind. It's like, get on board, help, or do your own thing if you've got it. But, like, just being a hater or putting down other people's work is not going to help the animals in any way, shape, or form.
No, anytime there's haters out there doing whatever, and if anybody comes to me and says, hey, you know, there was this so-and-so hating, I said, delete, ban, block, next. Just, you know, are they doing the work? You know, are they doing anything except hating?
Yeah.
If they, then just keep going.
That's
know?
Right. So. Yeah. So have you convinced or encouraged others who work in animal agriculture to kind of join your team and change their livelihood from, you know, exploiting, harming, killing animals to more of a sanctuary or to animal advocacy, animal rights?
You know, we've made impact on people. To make a dent with others in that way is very, very difficult. You
oh,
know,
yeah.
you either have that whatever it is that bites you, the vegan bug, or you don't. I don't know what you call it, but you know, I mean, we've influenced some people. I mean, there's rancher family that went vegan
nice.
That I know of because of our work. There's, you know, others that may not be all the way vegan, but we have relationships with, and because it takes, I mean, just like me, it took me 5 years to go vegan, even though I didn't, because you don't just, as a cattle rancher or somebody in the animal ag industry, they're not like going to have a conversation with me and want to go vegan the next day. It may be, I mean, we have families that come here and visit us. They have animals here that are cattle ranchers. They have animals here. They've surrendered because they didn't want to see them go to slaughter. And we sit down at the kitchen table and we chat and we feed them some, a vegan lunch, a breakfast, and, I know it makes a difference. I think every conversation you have with people makes a difference.
Yeah.
And I know that I have lots of opportunities. We buy hay from cattle ranchers. There ain't no vegans around here growing hay.
Right.
So, whenever we were being flooded by Hurricane Harvey and all the other floods and having to evacuate, no vegans rode in on horses to save us. Guess who rode in on horses to help us? Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to tell those cowboys, get off my property, you're not vegan, and you're not supposed to be riding a horse. We had to have help. Our animals would have died had not cowboys come riding in.
Right.
Do I ride horses? No. Do I condone it? No. But it is a fine line, we live in a world where people are, they're bought into the traditions and cultures of a normalized violence that they don't even realize they're in.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like things ebb and flow, I'm always working with cattle ranchers. I'm always talking to cowboys. I'm always in the throes of that world. Am I making a difference? I believe so.
Right.
Every time I walk into a barbecue restaurant here in the barbecue capital of Texas, I believe I'm making a difference when I go up to them and say, hey, you got any vegan barbecue? I think we're making a difference. Do I know who all's changed? God, I wish I did. I wish I did.
Yeah.
I know we're making a difference. I just can't quantify it.
Sure, sure. And I love what you said, because that's so true. We have to work with people. Not everybody in our world, very few are vegan or animal rights activists. So you've got to work together and constantly be educating and trying to maybe reach people with compassion. And hopefully they'll catch on, or they'll take steps to get there. But so I appreciate what you say, because you can't just cut yourself off from these other people, because you have to reach them, or we have to reach them. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
I was just saying, if you can't live in their world, if you can't be present with people that are still in the industry, if you can't truly be present without judgment, mm-hmm. you'll never change. You'll never make impact on them.
Right. Yeah.
Ever. Never. Never, ever, ever. It won't happen.
Well, it's kind of like if you live in a vegan bubble and you only surround yourself with other vegans and other animal rights activists, then how are you reaching others who might not know the truth about so many issues, so many animal cruelty, animal rights issues, if you don't reach out to, others? So I kind of feel that way. What you're saying is you can't just, socialize with just the vegans, if that makes sense.
No, we don't. We socialize with everybody. We'll have a vegan barbecue out here in July and invite the community.
Mm-hmm. Right. Wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So tell us about Rowdy Girl, the documentary.
Rowdy Girl happened when Jason Goldman contacted us probably in 2018 or so. It was before we moved to the new location. And he wanted to film our story and, get a real art. It's very artistic, the documentary. And Moby is the executive producer.
Oh, really?
Of the
mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And it had its world premiere at Hot Docs in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And that was last year, a year and a half ago. And then it had its U.S. premiere at the Hamptons Film Festival. You can go to rowdygirlfilm.com and, learn a lot about it. There's also Argo Pictures is working with us. We have a team. We have three theatrical releases coming up. One in New York City in May, end of May, first week of June, and then one in L.A. Somewhere near L.A. The next week, the very next week, and then we'll have one here in Austin. So it'll be a week-long theatrical release of the Rowdy Girl documentary, and we're real excited about that. I'll be going out and flying for the Q&As, and Jason will be there as well. Moby's coming out to the one in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's going to be fun.
That sounds very exciting. I'd like to go. I'd love to go to one of those. Do you think you'll be having one in Chicago?
Well, I mean, the plan is to once these three theatrical releases are done, I believe the plan is to go into artistic theaters around the country.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if there's some theaters in your neck of the woods that you'd like the Rowdy Girl film to be shown in, just send me an email. If anybody out there listening, if you want the documentary to play in your community, just let us know the theater, and I'll forward it on to our theatrical team.
Okay. There's a theater in Chicago on the north side called the Music Box, which is a very artistic theater movie house that has a lot of indie films and independent, well, that's the same thing, films.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah. So can mm-hmm. we tell people to reach out to the Music Box and urge them to reach out to your team?
Yeah, just reach out to us. Let us know you want us to play there, and they'll coordinate it.
Yeah. So either reach out to Renee or at Rowdy Girl Sanctuary, or reach out to the Music Box and urge them to get Rowdy Girl, the documentary, in for a showing. So that'd be very cool. Real quickly, I just want to remind people that we take phone calls at 773-763-9278 at WCPT. So if anybody wants to call in and ask Renee a question or make a comment, please feel free to call. Do you want anything more you want to add about this documentary?
Oh, just that it was almost three years Jason Goldman spent with us. He'd stay, you know, weeks at a time filming, you know, the real life work that we do. The entire soundtrack is the animals or our conversations. Moby, even though he's the executive producer, he offered us his entire catalog. But Jason was like, you know, there ain't nothing like the sound of the animals. And let me tell you, it worked. The documentary, once you watch it, you just get pulled into the day to day and the animals, and
mm-hmm.
you know, and we have conversations with cattle ranchers and stuff. It's really, really good. And I don't say that because it's our documentary. I'm really proud of how Jason filmed it. It's very observational.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be in the Ukraine this summer.
Oh, very cool.
Ukraine is going to be in Brazil.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been in, was it China or Japan? It was either in China or Japan or recently Tokyo.
So it's an international film now.
Yeah. It's making its way around the world in different places. I mean, it's definitely, it's not like global or nothing, but it's definitely been in some other countries.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's a debut as Canada. So tell us about your rescue procedure and what types of animals do you rescue?
Well, we have, of course, I rescued all of my husband's cows from slaughter. When I went vegan, that was my first rescue, was the whole herd. I rescued all those cows from going to slaughter, did a big fundraiser and, you know, bought them all and started Rowdy Girl Sanctuary. So we have right at 70 cows, 69 to be exact. We have, you know, lots of chickens and goats, and we have a couple of roosters. We have a turkey. We have three rabbits. We have three pot bellies, a great big pig named Roo. We have a couple horses, a donkey.
So you take in, do you take in pretty much, if you can, animals that, you know, might be otherwise go to slaughter or might be put down?
Oh, every animal we rescue is bound for slaughter or, or you know, they're at risk of being euthanized in before their time, you know, they're for no reason.
Right.
Except for their, you know, I mean, absolutely. That's what qualifies. That's the first qualifier, whether I will take one in or not. I don't just take animals just because somebody can't take care of them. If they can take care of them, if the animal is not at risk, then, you know, I help people figure it out. I'm always talking to people. I talk to people. That's why I'm so, I can't like do as many podcasts and all as I used to, because I'm always talking. I'm always on the phone, you know, or always, you know, doing something. And I gotta like manage my output with my voice because I start losing my voice.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's crazy. But yeah.
Oh, sorry to take this hour from you.
No, please don't apologize. I wanted to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. How many, do you have any idea how many animals total you've rescued and how many you have at the sanctuary right now?
Oh, well, right now we have 133,
oh, wow.
I believe.
Yeah.
Total. And how many we've rescued total? Gosh, probably, I would have to look at the list, really, to get you an accurate number. I don't want to just guess.
Sure, I understand.
But I don't want to just guess. I'd have to look at our spreadsheet, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So tell us about some of the most memorable rescues you've taken, some of their names and their stories. And we know about Rowdy Girl, but
the most memorable, well, definitely the herd. Rescuing the herd was the one that got us the name Rowdy Girl Sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
I did a big fundraiser back in 2015. To rescue the whole herd from going to slaughter, and raised $36,000 in less than 4 months and bought my husband's herd. And, you know, that was the first documented, we're the first documented beef cattle ranch in the world, you know, to go vegan and live to tell about it anyway. But that was my most memorable rescue. Because this one got us on this journey. But as far as that goes, I would say the next most memorable would probably be Herman, the miracle pig, and it was my very next rescue right after, because we'd never like rescued an isolated single animal, and Herman was at a kill shelter. He was old, had heart trouble, and he had been left to die. To languish, really. His caregiver had passed away, and the family didn't come get Herman. They just left him in the backyard to just languish, and the people around there would throw in scraps and stuff like that, but, you know, he didn't have a caregiver for about a month, and then they came and got him. Animal control came and got him, mm-hmm. and he was going to be euthanized, and somebody told us about it, and we went down and saw Herman in a little holding cell, a little concrete box. You know, he had poop all around him, you know, his poop, and he was very, very angry. He was, you know, he was pretty angry, you know, and it was hard to get him, but my husband managed, and Herman became, and I became very, very close. I'd never had a pig. Mm-hmm. That was my first pig.
Okay.
And he had those big long tusks. And I used to sing to him. I remember a little song I wrote about Herman. And I'll sing it to you if you want me to.
Yeah, but we'd love to hear it.
Well, it goes like this. Oh, Herman, we love you so much. We see your soul behind your eyes. We know you had it rough. Oh, Herman, we love you so much. We see your soul behind your eyes. We know you had it rough. Anyway.
Aww, I love it.
I know. Anyway, because Herman was so angry and he was mean. He would try to bite you, charge you, because he had been left.
He had reasons.
You know. Yeah, bless him. And I would just go in and just spend hours with him singing to him. And he would charge me, and I would just stay with him, you know. And I just kept singing to him. And eventually, me and him, I could just snuggle up to him and lay with him. And so I guess, you know, I just loved that boy. And he was my first memorable.
Is he still around?
Oh, no. No, he was old when we got him, and he died, about, I don't know, 2.5 or 3 years later of a heart condition.
Okay.
Yeah. He was probably about 11 or so when he passed away, they said.
But he had a good end of his life with you.
Oh, he did. Yeah. And then, you know, a lot of the FFA surrenders are very memorable because an FFA is Future Farmers of America. You know, people don't know, but... Mm-hmm. That's those educational, animal ag educational programs in schools that teach kids to kill animals, you know, and, you know, to love animals and kill them. That's how we learn.
Yeah,
that's how we love animals. That's how we learn to kill animals is in those programs. I mean,
well, that's they learn how to get desensitized. I mean, those programs, I grew up actually in a very small town, and we had Future Farmers of America and 4-H in our community and our schools. And, you know, I knew from a very young age that there was something wrong with that. You know, I might not have been able to put it into words back then, but, I mean, that all those programs are teach children to raise animals as babies and care about them and take care of them.
Yeah.
And then they're supposed to sell them for slaughter. And it teaches, and the kids are basically told, like, grow up, this is life, you know, and it doesn't have to be life. It's the way that they look at life. And I feel like it's almost child abuse in addition to animal abuse.
And that's the reason those are some of my most memorable surrenders. I remember Cinnamon. Cinnamon's a great, big, beautiful red Brahmin, you know, with the big floppy ears. And
what kind of animal?
A Brahmin, B-R-A-H-M-A-N. You know, Brahmin, the ones like you see in India with the big humps on their back and the big floppy ears. They're great.
A cow? Why am I confused?
Yeah.
Okay. A cow.
Yeah,
a cow.
Yeah, big Brahmin. B-R-A-H-M-A-N, Brahmin.
Okay.
We have a red Brahmin, and we have a silver one named J.D. He's another very memorable one. But Cinnamon was a 4-H project, quote-unquote, and... she was getting ready to go to the sale barn because she was 5 years old when we bought her. She had never been able to have babies. Something was wrong with her reproductive, and she couldn't have babies. Mm-hmm. And so the rancher was getting ready to load her up in the sale barn, take her to the sale barn, and just so happened we were on a local news channel that day. ABC 13, Deborah Wrigley had come out to interview us. This was early on, probably late 2015 or 2016. And the girl and her mama saw the news segment and called us. I mean, the same day that the daddy was getting ready to load up Cinnamon. And, you know, she said she saw the interview, wanted to know if we could take Cinnamon. She gave me the story. I, you know, sat and talked to her. she cried, or mama cried, everybody's crying. And a few hours later, Cinnamon's that rowdy girl with tears just streaming down her face. I mean, that cow, huge. You talk about a spiritual animal. Cinnamon, you go to hug Cinnamon, and, I mean, she's massive. Mm-hmm. You know, at least probably 1,800 pounds. Wow. You go to hug Cinnamon, and your heart, when, as soon as you put your heart on her body, it's like anything you're feeling, any despair, depression, anything, it just melts away. That's what, these cows are so sacred. Cows are the most sacred animals. Mm. You know, the fact that we eat these animals is so, so horrible that we treat them the way we treat them. But that's another subject. But Cinnamon, the minute she touched ground at Rowdy Girl, you could feel something shift on our ground. It was just like her presence elevated our land. And she, she's just an awesome, awesome being.
You're going to make me start crying.
Yeah, she's an awesome. You can see her on our website. I mean, we have stories, pictures, of all of our animals you can virtually adopt. Mm-hmm. You know, she's one of them you can virtually adopt. JD is another. He's a silver Brahmin, and he was surrendered by a registered breeder. And she called me up. Her name is Tara. She called me up one day, and this was right before we moved. Well, about a year before we moved up here to Welder. She said, Renee, she didn't call me. She sent me an email. And it was in her email. It was like, Renee, and she acted like she was the cow. So I get a letter in an email from a cow.
I see.
and it's JD. And she's speaking to me through that email like she's the cow. Mm-hmm. So I'm reading this email, starts off with Renee, you know, hi there, my name is JD. And she starts reading the stories on my website. JD was a stud. He was a stud breeder bull, and he had a big fight with some of the other bulls and broke his leg. And they were going to put him down. The family wanted to put him down. They had a big family operation. And Tara wouldn't let him put him down. She spent the money to put JD in a cast. A big, like, the whole side of his body was in a cast to keep that leg, you know, straight. Mm-hmm. And she spent thousands of dollars on this.
Yeah.
And then when the cast came off, he was no longer able to breed anymore because, you know, of his weak leg, and the family was getting ready to go through a big divorce, and they were losing. It was a big family mess, and the whole family wanted to put JD down, either put JD down, sell him to a sale barn, you know, something. We got to get rid of JD. He's not going to work out. They were getting rid of a lot of stuff, and anyway, so I get this letter and JD telling me this story. JD was saying how much he loved his life and how he loved being a sire and breeding, and he loved all the ladies. And then he got into a big fight, and next thing you know, he's in a cast, and he can't, you know, hang out with his friends anymore. I mean, he's just telling me the stories that was coming from him.
And you can't say no to that.
Well, I was in tears, yeah, by the time I got finished. And I told my husband, and he had already told me before that, Renee, we can't take in any more animals, you know. Mm-hmm. And we're getting ready to move, because we were getting ready to move up here, like we knew we were going to be moving. And anyway, when I read Tommy that letter, he was like, but you're going to have to tell her we got to wait till we move up to Welder. Well, she wouldn't. She was even, you know, close to us up here. She was only like 20 minutes from where we live now. And I tell you what, that boy, he is something, JD. Yeah. Him and Cinnamon are best friends.
Aw. Now, did you know the person writing JD's letter? Or they just knew of
no,
you?
No, I didn't. No, they knew of me. They find me, you know?
Yeah, and then they wrote it.
People find me, yes.
Okay, wow. That's actually a very smart thing to do, to write it in the as it coming from the animal needing a new home. I love it.
That's what she did.
Yeah.
That's what she did. And then I called her and talked to her, and I was crying. She was crying. She said, Renee, I asked her, I can't believe you wrote that letter as if it was coming from that cow. She said, Renee, he did write it. I was just his channel. That's what she told me.
Yeah. Well, thank
he
you.
He needs to come to Rowdy Girl. You know, she was like, in fact, that letter said, you know, I've heard all about Rowdy Girl and I want to come there to live out the rest of my days. And blah, something like that. It's on my website. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. would you like to tell us about writing your memoir, Secret Diary of a Cattle Rancher's Wife?
Well, yeah, wow. That book has been years in the making. I finally finished it about a year ago. And it's right now in the hands of my agent. And I have a New York agent. I can't really talk about the agency right now because the agent is actually moving to another agency. And so I'm not sure if this book is going to stay with this agency or if I'm going to move with her. So I can't really say where it's a big one, though. And so there's that. And I tell everything in that book. I mean, the book is my whole life. It isn't just about my life here on the ranch. It's the secret diary, my secret diary from when I first was born.
Okay.
I talk about everything it took to shape me to become who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 66. Everything it took would shape me to become the kind of person that would, you know, pretty much stand up against a cattle rancher and, you know, the whole tradition of cattle ranching. You know, it's like Kip Anderson asked me one time. He's the producer of Cowspiracy, Seaspiracy, What the Health, and the recent, you know, Christspiracy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, he's on our board. He's been on our board since the very beginning. And he told me one time, he said, Renee, what kind of person does what you did? Who does that? I want to know who that is. And that's what I want you to write. You write that book.
I like it.
And so, you know, as a result, the book is written, took years, and it's in the hands of an agent. It's going to be, you know, a proposal's being written. It'll go out for major publication. And there's also a film being written, film being made for TV, you know, like for TV or something like that.
That's very exciting. Wow. So I know that you had said Rowdy Girl is going to be screened in New York City, I think at the Firehouse Cinema, May 31st through June 6th of this year.
Yeah.
And June 7th through the 13th at Lamely? I don't know how to say that. Monica?
Lamely. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Film Center in Santa Monica. How can people get tickets for these?
Well, it's all going to be available. If you go to Argo Pictures, I think that's what it's called. Yeah. ArgoPictures.com. And then also the Rowdy Girl Film. Follow Rowdy Girl Film on Instagram, on Facebook, and the website. And follow Rowdy Girl Sanctuary. You know, we're going to be collaborating, you know, with Rowdy Girl Film and all of this. But definitely follow Rowdy Girl Sanctuary just to learn more about the work we do, the activism. I mean, I'm a pretty, you know, staunch activist, day in, day out on my social channels. And, you know, I include stories about the animals and whatnot, but I also do a lot of activism because I really want to end animal suffering. I want to end animal agriculture. I really want to just see it go away.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just so horrible. The whole industry is just horrible that we murder 93 billion animals a year for food.
Mm-hmm.
Just for food. For food.
Yep. Yeah.
That's necessary, you know.
Is there anything more you want to go into about what people should know. We've covered it a couple times on the show, but about the dairy industry, about the beef industry, about animal agriculture that you think people should just know.
Well, I think people should just know that, you know, what's looking out of the eyes of a cow is what's looking out of you. It's the same. There ain't no different. You kill a cow, you're killing yourself, literally. And that's the problem that we have right now, is we are killing animals that are just like us on the inside. They may not have the same skin, and they may not be built like us, but they're just like us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how dare we take the only thing that belongs to them, their life, away from them? How dare we? You know, I see it now. You know, and that's why Christspiracy, the documentary, and, you know, is so important for people to go, you know, to get behind, because they really blow, you know, they blow the whole thing about, you know, animals being here for us to eat, you know, pretty much out of the water.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, you know, there's a lot to it. There's a whole lot to why we eat animals. And it's all not only programming from animal ag, but programming from religion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
It's false doctrine. It's false. It ain't, it's not, it never was meant to be that way.
And it's a taught thing. You know, we grow up and we're taught to eat it. We're given it as babies, as children. And most people don't question it until they get to a certain age, and then they might start investigating what exactly they're eating. So, yeah, it's indoctrinated into our life and our world.
We instead of a lifestyle, we have a death style. We live by off of dead bodies. It's a death style.
Mm-hmm.
Our very existence.
Never heard of that before.
Well, I made it up. I really did. I like the
terminology.
That's what we do. We survive off death.
Uh huh.
Is that like messed up?
Certainly is.
It is. And the fact that we walk around, why do you think, I mean, I really do believe, I talk about this in my book. Why do you think there's zombies? Like, we love zombie stories or vampire stories. I mean, you know, that stuff ain't real. But really, you know what it is? It is because we are walking, talking zombies. We live off of death. We live off of dead bodies. And, yeah, you know, and until we... And just like vampires, you know, I always think about it like, you know, when I went vegan, it was like my whole DNA flipped, and I went from loving blood, loving flesh, loving death to being, I went from, oh my God, I can do not even get that. I want that out of the house. Don't yeah. let it near me. I mean, just like a vampire goes from, I mean, a person goes from being a, you know, a person that eats regular food to a vampire, you know, all of a sudden they got to have blood, right?
Yeah.
A vegan goes to get the blood out of here. I want life.
Yes.
And we got to look at these things. This is what we do. We crave death.
Well, you're teaching people not to, and hopefully educating them to make change. So we're starting to run out of time. So quickly, if you can let people know how to find out more about you and Rowdy Girl Sanctuary, that would be great.
Thank you, Jody. I didn't mean to get on a rant about vampires.
That's okay. I asked.
In fact, you got to get people to listen, you know?
Yeah.
And so sometimes that makes people go, what?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, you can know more about us at rowdygirlsanctuary.org. Please follow our social channels, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You know, we're very active on all the above. So, and if you're going to the AVA Summit, I'll be there this year. And if you're not a member yet, become a member. I mean, we have about 684 members right now. Our goal is to get to 800 by the end of the year. And that's people that donate every single month, you know, from $5 to, $150 a month. We have donors that do that.
Well, I appreciate everything you're doing. I'd love to one day maybe come see your sanctuary, meet some of your rescues, and meet you in person. So thank you so much, and thanks for your time today.
I love that. Thanks, Jody.
Thank you. So before we end, I want to quickly thank my friends and former bosses, Christine Dorchak and Carrie Teal of Great UK USA Worldwide, who are helping support this important show. They work daily to end the cruelty of dog racing across the globe. Learn more about how a small group of people can make a big difference for animals at grade2kusa.org. And I'd like to end today with this quote. Mothers were birthing outside my window, and I was listening to their labor pains all night, and then watching them loving and cleaning their babies until my husband came with the tractor and cage to take those babies. You realize you've been blind to this Holocaust going on all around you. Once you break through that barrier of social conditioning to eat meat, you wake up in a world of horror. The person who said that was Jess Strathdee. She's a former dairy farmer. And so kind of what Renee was just saying is these industries are based on immense suffering, animals giving birth, and then the animals being taken away and slaughtered. So, you know, we're here to educate you on this. It's a sad issue, but it's also can be very positive, positive to make change and have the choice to make a more compassionate lifestyle. So you don't have to take part in that animal suffering. Okay. And also reach out to your independent movie houses and urge them to bring the Rowdy Girl documentary to have a filming there. So we are running out of time, and this is Jody Whitaker of the Chicago Alliance for Animals. Please visit chicagoallianceforanimals.org or look us up on Facebook and reach out to us to help our very active campaigns to free Spur, the tortoise, and free Rocky the coyote and ban horse carriages worldwide. Thank you, and please tune in next Saturday.